Talking Head. So I'm sitting here in Sweden. I'm watching this documentary or TV series on Swedish television about the Pirate Bay, if you know what that is. But here a lot of, it's interesting to see, to look into that world of Swedish government and all that. Or rather, Swedish bureaucracy, because that's where things are going on here, it seems. What are we going to do with those pirates? He will take over our country. This one lady, what her name was. Are we in the police? We have more important crime to put our resources into. Papers going from desk to desk, office to office. Department and institution from the, you know, from one to another. And then, when I sit there and look at it, I realize something about Sweden. Why? And I think in Europe in general, why the decision making is slow and often erroneous, faulty, mistaken, filled with errors. Because, you know, in this city where I'm sitting now, there are all these thousands of offices and fine buildings downtown. Where there are all these government ministries and whatever they are called, institutions, departments, and so on. All these bureaucratic chambers. And I remember even Mr. August Strindberg, the famous Swedish author, he wrote ironically about them, which, because they had already, as it seems, started developing and late 19th century, or even earlier. So, you have these rooms there, right? Comfortable, you know, you're in the power centers, you're here downtown Stockholm, maybe you're close to the Parliament building, and you know, all the government people and all of those, they hang around here in this area. This is a cool place to work, and I get a very good salary. And then you have this lawyer lady there working there, and well, yeah, piracy, that's stealth, that's criminal, and she starts fighting against that. Because you need to do something, right? And of course, there may be honest-to-God conscience involved. But then there are always these, as you can see in this film, is two different sides to it, which is interesting. But anyway, you know, when I picture myself sitting in that world, in those rooms downtown here, with a good salary, a real good salary, a nice home out there in the upper class coastal areas or suburbs, which are really nice. You should go there and look at the building, because I'm living in one of them. Very comfortable life. Very, very. And if it gets too cold for you here, just take a trip down south whenever you want, basically. I don't know how comfortable they are, but in any case, that is a world in there, a world in itself, a bubble. I bet you. Just like, because I have seen when they have a group of people who mainly stay within a certain set of walls and mostly just associating with each other, people of the same kind, and only those who are of the same kind would get a job there. I mean, you can't just get a job in the top level bureaucracy of, you know, running this country and under working under the government and those in charge. If you walk around there and spread false information, as they say now, you say things which are not, you're not allowed to say, which you're not allowed to believe or think. If you have the wrong opinions and you utter them, you just don't do that here in Sweden. People are very afraid of that. You're supposed to be a good citizen. And then, of course, you have the others who say, up yours to that. You know, I'm going to follow my conscience and the truth and, you know, what I accept as fact and the right and good thing to do. Not just follow some leaders who might sit up there in the top of the government. Chambers. Those hidden abodes above everything else. Why should I just follow them? Because they might not necessarily be sitting there due to being very competent, which we see is often not the case. So we have, you know, these two sides, kind of one a little bit underground, because again, Swedish people are kind of just as Finnish people are, and Norwegians a little shy and good people mostly, if they don't stumble over to the dark side, then they can get really dark. But yeah, that's the situation. And so you sit in there, and when you hang out with the same people and you are a bit hanging out in the same environment, you don't look much what's going on or how things look like from outside of that, then you easily, you know, today they call it echo chamber. It's a very well-known phenomena that especially powerfully we have seen tend to develop in social media, you know, they're online, which I think we should be very careful about, and especially for ourselves, you and me, and all of us, be vigilant about that they may appear around us, but not necessarily because they are there and because we are in them. Be benign and good and controlled and driven by the good side. Because, you know, either side, if you want to look at the different sides, once you're in the echo system, you could say, they're online, and here in the physical world too. But most importantly, with your mind, your consciousness, your awareness of the world, that's where it starts, right? Once you're in their ecosystem, meaning, I would say today, mainly the media world that you are connected to. And the world of social environment that you are connected to and live within. And, you know, such social groupings, whether they are local interest groups, political parties, corporations, or entire governments of entire countries, or the entire mass of people living within a boundary like a country or whatever. What to speak of the entire mass of people who live on Facebook or Instagram, all of the, you know, those social media, which are like continents. So we've got to see that, and thus it might be possible that whatever group you find yourself in now is being either controlled by someone up there that maybe you didn't really expect to be the one in control. Who is then shaping whatever is visible in that little world, that echo chamber that is then bouncing around between all of you who are living in that group. I may sound cynical when I speak like this, but I have read enough about propaganda, and I've been living on that internet since it started, working professionally on it. I'm a system administrator, database administrator for the Unix, Linux platform, in case you know what that means. I mean, having run a web hosting company myself and developing, you know, web programmers, you know, I saw this, and I was hanging around there in the Stureplan, you know, which became even appeared on the front page of Newsweek as the IT center of the world. For a short while, I used to hang out there in the bars with friends who were in that, which I could even see then, IT bubble that, of course, popped just a year after. But, you know, I think I can see, and I'm not the only one. What's going on here? And all I'm saying is that it is, I would say, more important now than ever for us, yes, you and me and all of us, to learn to think for ourselves, to actually check facts. For instance, it's now mid-November 24, and I'm following. I somehow got interested in, you know, more the, well, it led me to become more interested in the world political scene, and in financial too, you know, the situation in the world, which includes the military. And I'm sitting here listening to, because that's the only, well, the safest source of information I can think of. I listen to independent channels on YouTube where, I mean, renowned experts, I mean, real experts, are giving their analysis and views on what's going on today. And I'm talking then about, which I've been mentioning a few times here, you know, diplomats, often retired, and you know, people like highly ranked military officers, politicians, senators from the US and from Europe. I can give you a whole list of those channels. You can see what I'm talking about. And when you listen to those people who were, you know, the people who worked directly there as advisors of president, prime ministers, governments, who were the ones sitting there talking, doing the diplomatic talks between the top leaders, you know, between the US president and the Russian or Soviet, and so on. So those people, if anyone, they know what they're talking about. And older professors at the universities who also have been out there working in the field, traveling a lot, living in other, in those nations where they, that they are then becoming diplomatic experts on and so on. Well, so I turn to those, and then I can see today, I just hear it from all over, and it's now not only in the alternative media, but you find it coming up more and more, even in, you know, The Economist and this and that Times magazines, or Time, yeah, whatever, that Ukraine is about to go down, to lose its war. And that's, even that now the US, in their typical way, have started talking about there being elections in Ukraine in May. That's what the US is planning. And in that election, they have then decided that the people of Ukraine will elect another person who is now more favorable and comfortable for the United States to deal with. So, well, that's, you know, how democracy, quote unquote, looks today. The big empire over there, they will democratically elect a new president for your country. Isn't that nice? You know, just that thing. But, you know, so that's the way it's going. But in any case, it means things are falling apart. And when you follow, for example, this military summary channel, which gives in detail every day, every little square meter, basically almost being captured by, and by whom, and both by pro-Russian, pro-Ukrainian, and neutral mappers, as they call them, who sit there and follow all the information that is available on the internet. It's a job, you know. So if anything seems to be fact regarding that, I find it on that channel. And if someone knows something else, you know, let me know. But, you know, this is the kind of work we have to do. What do I believe in? What do, whom can I reasonably listen to as giving accurate, honest to God information of what's going on here? And this, it's getting difficult. And I never look at the so-called mainstream media anymore, because I can see they're just they can be lying straight out. They don't even know that they're lying, because someone there, the leaders, they lie straight out when it suits their good. Democratic purpose of, you know, defending their own interests in the world, which some of our, you know, the guys over in the West there love to say, or rather even admit. We are just, you know, we are come here to your country on the other side of the planet. To, you know, and we're just here, we're noble people from the free and democratic world, you know, far over there. Sorry that you have not been able to experience that yet, but we're working on it to liberate you too. And, well, you know, we're using our very nice media. You can look at this media on these screens that you now all have in your pocket. And we'll, you know, trust us. We'll tell you where things are at, what's going on, what's true and what is false, you know. And who is that person saying all that? Well, it's some, you know, some kind of public relations department, probably in a company somewhere, where someone is expert at answering questions and giving explanations and using the media, this grand, fantastic mental image that is out there that people are connected to with their little interfaces, which we can shape. And you know, these up there on top, we all know, we hear politicians, those who are honest, speaking about it, and these retired professors and military people and diplomats and so on, who dare to speak out freely now, because there's no job to lose. They're kind of on the safe side now, and if they die, you know, if someone kills me, then so what? I did the good thing, right thing. So you could say it's a war going on there, but it's a war important to be aware of. Of course, it even has this name of hybrid war and cyber war and all of those fine words. But we used to call it psychological warfare. And I would say, you know, the little you could do back in the Second World War, or even the Vietnam War, what was it, you know, throw down leaflets from airplanes and hack their radio channel or something, a television station, take it over. And now we're happy to announce that you are liberated. You know, that kind of movie-style thing. But today it's like we are galaxies away from that level. Now, if you know the knowledge of psychology in terms of marketing and PR and all of that, and you have access to this from a reasonably high and powerful and influential position, this world that people are connected to and live much of their lives in, they don't even think about it, then you can shape that world if you have enough money, you know. And therefore you find that the money makers, those who have enough money, they have become very, very powerful. But it all comes down to our minds, my mind, your mind. Frank Zappa just said this thing, you know, if the mind is not functioning, if it's not open, just like a parachute, so therefore, you know, your humble self is here trying to, in whatever this will be, a podcast or whatever, trying to do my little share of mind opening, which we should try and help each other to do here. That's the best way we can use this wonderful media we are on. So yeah, if you like that and you want to be part of it, even if you can't or don't feel like starting your own channel here somewhere, or you're too shy for it, at least click on subscribe here and maybe the little like button. That's all we, you know, that can help us a lot to be seen more by more people. That's how YouTube's algorithms work. So yeah, click on that subscription button, which adds a number to the horde of people who like this channel, and which would then make it more visible here, because what's most popular is what's most visible here. And let's go viral, like a wildfire of knowledge and light and honesty and wisdom. So a little click on subscribe, please. You have to have a Google account, but I guess you may have any. You probably have it anyway. So my point that I started with here was, that this is this bureaucracy that we find here in Sweden, where you just can't get things done, even when it comes to fighting crime, whatever it is, and even the good things that should be done, there's always someone there who says no. It's in a more powerful position, probably because that thing that is good for nature and everyone, and it doesn't increase someone's stock portfolio or whatever. And I think you got that, you know, in the background of everything, you got a bunch of accountants playing around with numbers. But then mean that some people can call themselves rich and wealthy and thus become powerful and influential, you know, the way winners are. Not the losers down there, you know, in the development countries. Now they call themselves Southern Globe, Global South. Oh, what was it? So, yeah. So when I came to Beijing in 2012 or 2009, I don't remember which. And went to that a trade fair, which was about renewable and ecological, you know, energy. There were I spoke to some Swedish companies there, because it was an international trade fair. And I asked him, probably the CEO or something of that, who was there, that how is it to work with the Chinese? And he said, you know, say whatever you want about the Chinese, but it's easy to work with them, because they have a very efficient decision-making. You don't get stuck in bureaucracies. And I can see that now, at least that's the way it looks like to me, that this is what's going on today in the world. And some nations, over there in Asia especially, but I think you find them in South America and Africa and Middle East as well. They, just as this government, I mean, this man I spoke with, had lunch with, who was sitting in the central government, said that we, you know, we select, he just looked at me when I asked how they select their leaders. And I asked, are they selected by votes by the people? And they said, no, we pick the most qualified ones. And I like, of course, that kind of makes sense. Because especially if you're going to sit in the government of a nation with 1.5 billion people, and it's your responsibility to make sure that those people are happy and secure and have a place to live and a job and, you know, food on their table. It's a big responsibility, so you need the best. Not just something, you know, that a billion farmers living out in the countryside have no idea. They still think that Mao lives, probably. Or, you know, if you went out there, you found the pictures of Mao still there. In the big cities, they were laughing about, joking about Mao. So, you know, and I heard someone say that, and that at least makes sense to me, that the Indian government, they have been looking towards some kind of democratic system. And I think that they are kind of interested in the social democrat system of Sweden. They have a certain respect for Sweden. Especially, as I heard, since Sweden was the first nation to accept them as the People's Republic of China, they never forget things, you know. Good things, bad things, other nations did to them, they remember. Just, I mean, that's natural. Especially for these old cultures. So, yeah. In other words, there are different ways of doing things. You can't run China with the same government set up as you have in Sweden. Oh yeah, and that's what I understood it like, that, you know, they think if you did, then there would be a party created immediately by some Western powers, or, you know, CIA or whoever they are. They just create a nice political party, put all their resources of global influence right there into China, and they can make the Chinese vote for anyone they want. That's how it works. That's why many today are saying that democracy is not functional anymore in certain places. In some places it still is, it seems, but it's either, such as the situation here in Europe, so sucked into bureaucracy and so absorbed with ambitious, unqualified, you know, statesmanship-wise unqualified people who just want to be up there and play as big players in the big game, you know. And I want to make my opinions heard. I want to make a law. Then that's something, you know. And then be invited to all the fine parties with the fine people, you know. That's one disease that can and obviously has affected Western democracies, which weakens them. You see, crime is increasing. People are being shot out in the streets. A Facebook friend of mine got shot in the foot, or in the leg, and people next to her died in a Stockholm suburb some year ago. Incompetent leadership. And then you have the other one over there, further into the west, that just gets run by basically the big, financially powerful people. We can think of them as the big corporations, but corporations are also owned by the biggest, most powerful people and controlled by them. And then, you know, if you want to go further, you can speculate who's behind those even more powerful. Yeah, Anunnakis, Nagas, all this whole mythology thing comes into it, which makes it an interesting story. So, but anyway, staying here and now, something along that line is a situation here today. And we have, you know, an outright expression, globalism, as if it was something good that we should all embrace as the, I mean, that's such a nice word, isn't it? The globe, Earth globe is so beautiful, right? So globalism means that we all care about the Earth globe, the whole world, about each other, and that we all work together to make it good for everyone. And I mean, of course we should. But again, there are these words, buzzwords, whatever you want to call them, that have been planted into our mental media landscape here. And when you hear it, you go, bling, something good here, right? And bang, something bad there. And those feelings of good or bad are triggered by words. So when you find these charged words, I mean, they even talk about it like that now, you weaponize words, you know, like a minefield, and but not mines that kill you, but mines that blow off when you find a word, and then poof, that's it. So smoke screen or fireworks appearing of something good or something bad or some specific feeling or whatever that may be connected to that word. And when I say that, then many say, what were you talking about? This is just natural, you know, I'm not susceptible to propaganda, if that's what you're trying to insinuate. I know better. But well, first of all, propaganda is made to be invisible for the victims. So, well, if you rule out yourself from having anyone smarter than you above you who can influence your thoughts and opinions and worldview without you even noticing that, then, well, I congratulate you. But I had to struggle. at every moment almost to not fall for false news or this and that. And what is false news and good news? Well, some people will be there telling you. They're called fact checkers. That's another word, right? So you're expected that when a fact checker all of a sudden pops up on your screen saying that what you are right now reading is false, false. We fact checkers have checked that. Then, well, maybe then ask the question and start checking for the facts. Who are the fact checkers? And it always ultimately comes down to us to check the facts ourselves as good as we can. And to share that to make it easier for all of us, because, you know, channels such as this, at least that's how I function. If I find a channel somewhere where normally facts are being said and you can verify them and you can, you know, they show up to be true, and then you start to trust that, especially if it's run on a non-profit basis, donation, crowdfunding based, selling little merch or something, you know, that That sounds honest to me. At least that's where you could hope to find honest people, especially then if they what they say are facts that you can check up and find that they actually happened. And so on. I mean, there are ways, and that's what scientists are good at, to actually come to conviction. That's why they have this whole system of evidence and proof and all of that. So, you know, we need to take help from that world, but not from those who are bought by and employed by the big, you know, corporation monsters who just want some scientists or journalists or whatever to, or lawyers. You can buy anyone, you know, except those who have strength, real strength and integrity, and can stand there for the truth no matter what, even if you're losing your job. But then, you know, what happens? Look at, for instance, Tucker Carlson. He had his top job, you know, on Fox News, and he was their most, I think, liked and well-known personality. And then he started talking things that were not authorized by the leadership up there, and then he's running on his own, but he's making it even better now. He became more famous, more influential, and you see him everywhere. He's sitting now having talks with top political figures on a friend-to-friend basis, more or less. So things are changing so much. And in some very nice directions, and some not at all nice directions. And all I can say is that it seems, you know, that we have been given this wonderful form of media, so we can actually, yes, you and me and all of us, share the good information, not just sit idly and consume whatever someone has put there on our screens. Question a bit, why am I doing this now? And you know, these social media, they're made by people who are schooled in psychology, specifically to learn how to make us addicted to them. You know, just this little thing of flipping your screen to see continuing, and there's like a never-ending continuation. You can just go, and when you don't think about anything, you just keep going there because, okay, what's coming next? Oops, there came something. Oh, what's coming next? It's constructed in that way. And I can see how it happened, because there used to be chat rooms or discussion forums, but they were clumsier to navigate in. They were more topic-oriented or whatever. But just this flow, this mindless, colorful flow of pictures and this and that, it's so well designed to just keep us there. And then once, you know, when that flow is there, then those who are smart, who really know how to use it, they can produce objects, messages, pictures, whatever there that we see and that we stop at and that we click on for whatever reason. They can pull us into their, again, their ecosystem or their domain, so to speak. So, and that's what everyone is trying to do. So I would say it's important to be careful with the social media and use it, because we can, of course, use it. I'm trying at least positively by having the right friends. And if you find there are friends that are just publish dark, ugly things that you don't sympathize with or that you don't feel like it makes sense or that it's good for us or you or everyone, then just, you know, click off the showing of such messages or whatever, or change your friends to those who are on the upwards going spiral. So that, you know, we have this freedom, all of us, who to believe, who to look at, whose site to look at, even what kind of screen to look from, because now, you know, these big corporations, they are so clever. They have now connected the operative systems and our very devices that we use, which have screens that we look at, so they can pop, you know, they pop in advertisement and all kinds of things in there, and they also, more importantly, they tap out information from your device as much as they can within the borders of international law, whatever that is, and whoever can see anyway what we are doing inside our own operative system. So, you know, and then the CIA comes knocking on the door, and this one and that one, and yeah, you know, we want your information for the security of our government and the corporations. Yes, we would like to buy this. So it's, you know, it's good to just learn how to see the structure of what's going on today. And we don't need to, and I would say that today, especially today, we don't need to and shouldn't fall into the first trap, and that is taking sides. We don't need to take sides. And think about that. Some of them think they have to take sides, either this side or that side, because they are bad and they are good. But that in itself, sorry, is stupid. Because that's another, so, you know, from those weaponized words, that's another typical propaganda 101 item to use. The good and the bad and the drama and the whole thing there. And put it in the movies that people can watch, and it goes deep into the unconscious, you know. But I know these people are the good ones. How do you know? Well, everybody knows. So, why? Ask the question, why do I know? Why are they good? What are they doing that is good? And what I see today, I see someone, you know, someone really good at, or who used to be to it, but now you see that their makeup starts to wear off. They have, you know, they told me from when I was a kid, we are the free, democratic, strong, heroic, whatever, leaders of the world. And it seems to me that people here in Sweden and Europe, I don't know if I'm wrong, but that a lot of people here have just accepted that. It's even not offensive to call it the American United States Empire. It's becoming a common expression today. But that means the president sitting there is the emperor of the world. But that's how they talk about themselves. And now therefore you have these whole BRICS, and you know the global South are saying, no, this is enough, you know. we had colonialists, we had the imperialists, we had all of that. We did our communist thing, it didn't work out very well, but you know, we tried at least. But you know, now why don't we just calm down, all of us, behave as adults, and rather support each other's countries, leaving each other's countries as sovereign states, minding our own business. And if someone behaves bad, then we have international court where we have all agreed on the laws. That's how it was after the Westphalian agreement they made there after the, you know, the 30-year war, which was, it seems, very successful. But now they want to do that, a multipolar world again, not the unipolar, with an emperor who, you know, just look at which emperor and empress the Americans had to vote between. Yes, I mean, if you, in Europe and elsewhere, think that, yes, we would like to have that person who is now sitting there as the president of that empire, as our emperor, as our leader. Appointed by God to rule the world. Would you feel confident in that? Or if you have, if you look on the other side, the BRIC side, I mean, I follow there, I look at their, the videos, which are publicly available on YouTube, direct streams from their meetings, their conferences they had not long ago. And now this other one, this club, what is it, Waldo or something. I look at those, what they're talking about. And they're talking about how to cooperate, help building freight roads and trains and shipping safe shipping routes between countries. And that's what the Chinese are doing. Because then what you produce that we have used for, we can easily buy from you, and what you want to buy from us, you can easily buy from us. That's the idea, and that's how it used to be. Not that if you don't do the way we want it, then we will kill your leader, we will replace your government with one that we made. And now again, there's going to be soon a new one in Ukraine that they made. Notice. And just the same thing all over and over and over again. And then we will own your natural resources, as we did for for centuries now. Why are you complaining? So that's what's called, I guess, neocolonialism. And those over there in the global South, meaning Asia, basically, and Africa, South America, Middle East, whatever, this whole that they used to call development countries in the old, which a word is completely outdated. In other words, most of those who, basically those who were the victims of colonialism, they say enough. Enough is enough. Now you're, it was peaceful for a while, but now after we thought it's going to calm down after the Cold War and everyone can mind their own business, but now you're just pushing yourselves on us. This NATO is going here, and then you just want it as usual. You're so used to it that you even feel offended if we don't agree, that you're just supposed to be able to take our natural resources or our cheap work power or whatever as you like. And if we don't want to do that, Then what are you going to do? Well, then, you know, we're going to make war against you because you're our enemy now. You're threatening our free and great empire. But you know, that empire is shrinking just as they do after some time when they are not founded on reality or qualification to actually, you know, and mutual agreement. I mean, or do they want to conquer the entire world with military power as the Romans did? And kill all of us who don't want to be part of it, the great, wonderful empire. What? So I guess that's how the people over there in the global south say today. And that's what you can hear from these conferences. And BRICS, hardly even mentioned in Western media, is like an alternative United Nations or something. Even the leader, chairman of United Nations, was participating in that last BRICS meeting. Because at least that person realizes that, hey, this is something to count with, to look at, take it seriously. It's half the world's population, and you know, China, India, Russia, Middle East, you know, there are Iran, big countries involved here, South America, Africa, more and more wanting to join. So, writings are on the wall. But again, here are we. And why I'm talking all this, I just think it's good sometimes to look at the, you know, at least the way someone like me here, a little limited person in Sweden, sees it. And I may be wrong. So, you don't have to come here and shoot me or something just because I don't follow the mainstream accepted truth. I'm just giving my point of view, and I think we have, I'm not saying this is how it is, and you have the right to do that. We all have that right. And therefore, this freedom of speech is so coming up to the front today. As this, what is it I shared on social media here? If you don't believe in freedom of speech for people you disagree with, you don't believe in freedom of speech at all. Noam Chomsky. How do you pronounce his name? Said that. So please, if you are one of the ones with power and influence, and you one of those who is in charge of what we're allowed to do, if you think, oh, this person is out of line here, please think again. I'm just, you know, an ordinary person who just sits here in his sofa expressing what he thinks about things. There's nothing dangerous about that, is it? Of course, if a billion or two people think the same as him, oh, then it's dangerous. But the thing is that I think that maybe 3-4 billion people today on this planet think about the same as what I am expressing here. Because I got it from them, basically, from the people over there in Asia. Or rather by looking at them. But I actually got my view from people all over the world. Not this side, that side. just humans who get up there online and who happen to know what they're talking about. Good, honest, courageous, heroic people who dare to just speak up. And you know, when you listen to someone, you know, like I'm in the computer, I can see, you know, in the computer world, there are circles, you know, there are more inner circles, and then there are even more inner circles. And when you come into a certain level of inner circle, you immediately hear who knows what they're talking about and who don't. It's not anymore, you know, sounding good. It's just practical, down-to-earth knowledge that works if you do it right, and otherwise it doesn't work and your computer doesn't function properly. It's the same with the world. You might be good at talking well, but how is your life, ma'am and mister, sir and lady? So, yeah. But anyway, what I wanted to say, this was, I think, the longest parenthesis back to track here, that what I wanted to say was first how yeah, you know, this whole thing there, this whole world I describe now, my view on what is going on, and which most of my friends view much the same. And another one of my friends who doesn't view it the same, but more the mainstream way, just put something there on social media the other day that, yes, now finally I'm following here and I can see that Russia is about to lose, to be defeated in the war. And that person, I've been used to accepting him as decently intelligent and serious when it came to political matters. I just couldn't believe it, because all these experts that I, you know, look at, including those who are neutral and who are Ukraine supporters and whatever. I mean, of course, what do you mean by that? Because they're Eastern Ukrainians are supporters of the Russians. That they say, those who know what they're talking about, that I'll be mentioning here, they inform us, and it's, as I said, practically out there in mainstream media too, it's dripping out now, that Russia is winning, and basically Russia already won. Question is how to make it into a peace now, so it doesn't just continue and continue, because the Ukraine army is falling to pieces. There's basically a state of threat of revolution in Ukraine, or civil war, I don't know, but I mean, and the way it looks, and which I heard it being said, was that this whole thing going on in Ukraine is more a civil war than an invasion by Russia. And if you don't believe me, I'll put a link down here to a video recorded in December of 2016 from the trenches in Ukraine. Soldiers being dug down there, receiving shells exploding around them, and one American journalist who was there reporting this in the trenches with them. Real hero, this guy. I put the link down here. Look at that video. But who are the attackers there? Who are attacking with their drones and their shells? They're the Ukrainians who have been doing that starting after 2014. When they wanted to attack the Russian-speaking people in eastern Ukraine, forcing them, they forbade them from speaking Russian. Because that Nazi West Ukrainian movement that had become very dominant was completely hidden away from our Western media, as if they don't exist. And they were even used and supported by the Americans, foreign policy people, for getting rid of the president of Ukraine and putting their own authorized person there as president, namely Zelensky. So, yeah, there are things going on that don't meet the eye. At least we could start with that. But I'm just thinking, you know, how can people here in Sweden, having access to as much of the, you know, the same information that I'm looking at, that I find there, not just me, and not just any information, but I would say I couldn't find any more knowledgeable people and sources of facts and verifiable facts and information given from all sides. Basically accepted with straight quotes from top leaders and, you know, both in the East and the West and Ukraine and Russia. But then because some can't accept that, so they still continue. And this is, of course, what losers in a war tend to do, because if nothing else, then just to avoid being toppled by his own people. We are winning, you know, we're doing great, and all your sons and husbands, they're out there defending our great country, and you have women now coming out on YouTube saying, you know, Ukrainian ladies say, there are millions of people just disappearing here. We never hear anything from what happened to them. We don't know if they're alive or dead. So, you know, things are going on there now because you got a guy who is a comedian actor who's suddenly sitting there on the most pressured leadership position in the world. And the guy is crumbling, he's falling to pieces, he's mentally getting psychotic, basically. Because that's what happens when you're under too much pressure. And if you then start taking some drugs to help you, that's what happened to Hitler, you know. He kind of started going crazy. And now many of these experts, I'm saying, they're just saying that he is now actually not mentally in proper order. He's saying idiotic things, and he came, you know, going over to America and traveling around Europe saying we have a peace plan. It means that you should just give us more weapons to send long strike missiles into Russia, into Moscow, that you have to power for us because we can't do it ourselves. In other words, we should not start a world war to defend our country. It's insane. But then others are still there looking at the kind of the standard media story that is just being churned out there by people who probably don't have much idea what's going on. They have to write something, you know. And then they get something from the big NATO-controlled news bureaus, the propaganda thing that coming, you know, from our allies. Whatever the Ukrainians say, that's probably the truth. We declare it the truth and we send it out all over the world with our great news anchors who will tell you the truth. And it may be coming from a deranged mind of a completely unqualified leader who is about to lose in the most embarrassing and, I mean, you imagine how it would feel to be in that position. I put myself at the spot, you know, center of what's going on in the whole world, and then I blew it, and I'm losing, and I killed a million more people than I dared to tell them. Now, you know, should I shoot myself or not? I mean, he could be in that such a position. So I think the best thing would be, and that's, again, I'm just repeating what I hear these experts say, that have free elections. That's what democracies are about, right? Because now Ukraine is a fascist. It's a dictatorship, not fascist necessarily, but a dictatorship that the whole world then is supposed to support. Throwing 100,000 after 100,000, and there are not so many left now, young Ukrainian men, and maybe women, I don't know, to their death. Or lifelong invalidity or whatever. I mean, this is not a little media game here. This is, you know, and I think that's also something that is, we have to struggle a little to see, you know, to come to that understanding that it's actually going on down there among ordinary people. And I put another video here by Philippe, what's his name? This American journalist, who is traveling around then Ukraine and Russia. No, sorry, Patrick Lanchester. So, he's just interviewing ordinary Ukrainians that have been evacuated from the front line. What do you think about it? How is your situation? And that's where reality is. So I think he's doing a wonderful job, and it's much more valuable than all these politically correct, tailored versions of reality that we are being fed by default on our screens.